Chapter 4. Four very nervous saints, Peter, Matthew, Andrew, and John, sitting around the conference table, smoking and chugging coffee. The conference table is enormous, made of glass, and has a map of the world finely etched upon its surface. Each of the saints has a pile of papers in front of him. Peter's pile is an overview prepared by all departments. As general manager of heaven, the buck, theoretically, stops with Peter. However, as God's consigliere, the only person who told him a holiday might not be a great idea, Peter had an inkling as to how religion was taking hold down there. Peter is a little less nervous than his colleagues. Matthew's pile, as befits a former tax attorney, deals with statistics, facts, and figures. Matthew is bespectacled, balding, and drinks from his water glass with a trembling hand. He is also the proud possessor of one of the most boring voices known to man or angel, a monotone purr capable of reducing the finest prose to the phone book. Andrew's pile is small and relates mainly to the 20th century. The patron saint of Scotland would be best described on Earth as God's spin doctor. Andrew is good at his job, but he knows it's going to be hard work to put any kind of positive gloss on what's in front of him today. John's pile contains radical ideas and future projections. Fittingly, for someone whose father was named Zebedee, John is something of a blue sky man, an outside-the-box thinker. But God help you if God heard you using expressions like that. "Oh God, oh God, oh God," Matthew is saying as he pores over his briefing. "Give it to him straight," Peter says. "Just paint a clear picture." "A clear fucking picture, you fucking wide o' ye," Andrew says. "Like a picture of a fucking giant turd that some cunt's pished on and then stamped into the fucking ground with a size 10 Doc Martens boot? Would that a boot sum it up, do you think?" Matthew sighs.
"Does everything have to be turds and piss with you?"
"I think we'll be okay," John says, looking up from the joint he is building. "I mean, down there, yeah, it's a bit like, dad went away and the kids had a party, you know? The carpet got stained, a few glasses got broken, maybe like, a window got smashed. But at the end of the day, the house didn't get burned down, right? No one died."
Andrew snorts a derisive laugh. Actually, statistically speaking," Matthew says, looking up from his charts, graphs, and lists.
"John," Peter interrupts.
"Hmm?"
John is putting the finished joint in his mouth, patting his robe for a lighter. "Shut the fuck up." Peter snatches the joint from his lips and lights it himself. John shrugs as they hear voices and footsteps approaching.
"Oh God, oh God, oh God," Matthew says again,
and then, suddenly, the doors are flying open, and God is entering, Jesus trailing behind him. John is closest and first on his feet.
"Hey, welcome back.
Looking good."
Matthew gets as far as, "I hear the fishing was excellent."
"You too," God says, cutting them off. "Can the fucking bullshit right now and sit your asses down, or I swear I will rip off your fucking cocks and wear them as earrings for the rest of this fucking meeting."
"Sorry," Matthew says.
"No problemo," John says as they both sit back down.
"Hey," Peter says softly as he and God embrace. "I'm not one for I told you so, but..."
God holds up an index finger, silencing him.
"All right, chief,"
Andrew says simply, nodding across the table.
"Hey, guys," Jesus says, grabbing a donut from the buffet and sliding into a chair beside Matthew.
"Right,"
God says, wrapping his notes on the table and settling himself down at the head.
"Seeing as they seem to be throwing themselves into a genocide or a famine every 10 to 15 minutes, let's get to it."
"So," God plants his elbows on the table, clasps his hands together, and leans in towards them.
"What the fuck is going on down there?"